to the hearts of your people, Lord, in the same way you presented it to me, that you present it to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As I mentioned, this is one of my favorite psalms, very descriptive, and I even used a quote from this chapter. If you read the newsletter, I had an article. How many of you read that newsletter? Okay, so for those of you who did, the keychain I was referring to, this is my dog tag here, and it has Joshua 1:9 imprinted it. There's no spaces in between the letters, so it all fits on there. But, you know, it says, have I not commanded you? Do not be discouraged. Do not fear. I am with you wherever you go. And Joshua 1:8, the previous verse, is also a good promise as well. That says, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And if you're wondering why some verses I quote in King James, because when I was in the Marines and I was out there in a foxhole with my Gideon Bible was King James. And I was out there sitting in a foxhole and nothing else to do sometimes for hours. You'd sit there, I'd meditate and memorize scripture. So although I was by myself, I was there again. I was there with the Lord. But somebody asked me last Sunday, somebody asked me the question, kind of rhetorically, I guess. They said, why are we here? And with the understanding, why are we here? Who are we? And it caused me to think a little bit. There's a lot of different directions you could go with that from God's word, to that. But think about this. It's no coincidence that God gave each of us fingerprints that are different from everybody else. Isn't that amazing in itself? God designed us that way. He made us uniquely different than anybody else. We're identified with Christ in that way. He knows us. And in the same way, we found out, it took years for us to find out as human beings, but our DNA as well is different than everybody else's. There's some similarities in family, but for the most part, everybody's DNA is different. We're uniquely different that way. But I want to share something with you here from Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. And this is one that puzzled me. When I first got saved, I was 20 years old, and I read this verse. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So my question was at the time, and I remember this vividly, asking God, so if I deny myself, who am I? You know, we're asking, how do we identify with Christ? Who are we? Somebody asked me, who are we? But here God is saying that to deny yourself and follow him. So what is this unlike anyone else? There's things that you have that you may say, well, I acquired these things through life and had an interest in them. But you have to look at who the person was that gave you that interest. Who gave you that unique gift to lead music or to play music? Or to serve in these different ministries I hear some of you ladies here are involved in, and pastoral ministry. So we all have this unique interest that we had, but it was God that was behind all those things. So again, if we're not denying our personality, who are we denying? It's our individuality. And that's the part that I want to talk about. What is individuality? Individuality is the husk of personality, right? You take an ear of corn, right? You husk it, and there's the corn in the center, right? In our personal lives, we have this individuality that covers our personality and protects it. And children have individuality, and rightly so. It's God's way of protecting that precious personality that can get hurt so easily when you're a child. And God, so it's designed by God as well. But as you mature, as you become a Christian and you mature in your faith, God wants to see that personality. But we have this shell. This is the part he's asking us to deny. When it says deny yourself, to find out who you truly are, as a person created in Christ. It's our personality that God is after. And so it's not this shell that's on the outside of us, but it's Christ on the inside of us, in our personal, precious personality God has given us. Remember years ago, I don't hear it so much anymore, but a person would say, "Don't burst my bubble," right? It's that imaginary outer shell. You're getting too close, right? You're getting too close to that personality. And you know something else? I don't know if you ever thought of this, but when you're in church, you know, and needless to say, sometimes people get upset very easily in a church by what someone says. Why is that? Because you take off that shell when you come to church. Your personality. You're open. Your heart is open. And it's much easier to be offended. That's why we need to watch what we say to people and things. You know, it's interesting, by the time you get outside and you're in the parking lot, the individuality is usually right back again. And you could say the same thing and it wouldn't mean the same, right? But we open our hearts to God. God is saying to have that open heart all the time. And he protects vulnerability that we might have. But individuality, God is saying it has to go in order that personal life may come out and be brought into fellowship with God. That's what God wants. He doesn't want our individuality. He doesn't want that. You know, and it's funny, you know, the examples are endless. The person, I'm sure everybody here probably knows somebody like this that acts maybe tough or hardened on the outside, but they're the nicest person, really, if you personally know that they're the person, that they're the nicest person in the world. But they have this outer shell that shows this mean, ornery person. That I have a neighbor that's like that, and he told me once, I said him by name, I'm not going to say his name, but I said to him, I said, "I know that's not really the person you are." He goes, "Yeah," but he goes, "people don't bother me if I act that way in front of them," you know. And it's that kind of idea. That's what individuality is. It's that outer shell. It's that outer nature that isn't ours. It's like this, too. If you look at creation, the cocoon that a butterfly emerges from, that cocoon is the individuality, right? The butterfly is the personality of our life, right? It's a great example. Because if you look at that, God is, through the transformation when we got saved, God wants us to break out of that individuality into that beautiful, you could say, butterfly that emerges out of that shell. God wants us out of that shell. And again, speaking of individuality, individuality counterfeits personality. You could say the same way that lust counterfeits love. It's the same kind of concept there. And God designed human nature for himself, but individuality debases human nature for itself. And so how does individuality reveal itself in our personal life? Well, the characteristic of individuality is our continuous demand for our independent right to ourself. I like to use that old slogan for Burger King, "I'll have it my way." That's individuality in our personal life. "I'll have it my way." Or somebody will say, "It's my way or the highway." That's individuality. And God wants us to surrender that to him in order to walk rightly with him. It's the continual assertion of individuality that hinders our personal identification with Christ more than anything else. That's the thing that's hindering us from getting closer to God. God wants us to be closer to him. He has things to tell us. There's things, and I find myself sometimes, you know, if you're not quiet and listening, the Holy Spirit is a soft, gentle voice. And I don't mean it's the actual voice of I have heard the actual voice of God. You can hear him at times in your life. I'm not saying that you actually hear a voice every time, but he speaks to your heart. And it's clear as day. The words come clear to your mind, right? When you're reading the Bible, and that it's happened since I've been preaching here, the Word of God, that verse of Scripture, that passage of Scripture, just stands out so strongly, you know, that you're just quoting it. It's alive. It's real. It's God's Word is living, and it's working in your heart, and God works through that in our lives. But we need to be discerning in that way. We need to be walking with God in a way which is pleasing to Him in order to hear Him. But Jesus sometimes has to push us, you know, to the boundaries of that individuality to bring us to the place where we'll either say we won't or we will, you know, to the question of our individuality. God works in us that way. He's bringing us sometimes to the end of ourselves, you know, that's really where God, we begin to see God, when we let go of ourselves. But you think about that. Think about that fact that God, as He works in our lives, He brings us to the end of ourselves sometimes. He's bringing us to the end of ourselves so that we'll see what it is that He wants in our life. But that individuality gets in the way, right? I have another illustration for you here. I was thinking about, again, this is a military illustration, but I was in a weapons platoon in the Marines, and part of my training every year was, I was in California, so part of the training was with Navy SEALs in Coronado, California. And SEALs are actually, or they were trained by a Marine, usually a gunnery sergeant, an E-7. And we were down there training this one occasion, and the gunny told us in a conversation, he said, "The purpose of this training is to make you quit." Now why do you say the purpose of the training is to make you quit? The purpose of the training is to bring you, in other words, to the end of yourself, because when you get to the end of yourself, you exhaust your strength, your physical strength, your emotional strength. You can't take no more. That's where the true training starts. You get to the end of yourself. I was thinking, the thought came in. I know Kathy likes horses, her and her family. And I was thinking about the old days, right? I don't know if they still do it, but if you caught a wild horse, you know, you'd have to break the horse before you could train it. It's the same kind of thing, you know, in nature, in our personal lives. God has to bring us sometimes to the end of ourselves. We ask ourselves, why is this happening to me, God? You know, we want everything, of course, naturally, we want everything to go smooth in our lives. And sometimes things are so momentous and things are going wrong in our lives, and we're like, why is this happening, God? Right? You've asked God that question, right? I'm sure. I sure have at times. And with respect to God, you know, why? And God is trying to sometimes bring us to that point, to the end of ourselves, in order that our true personality will emerge out of that relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit here, He always narrows it down to one thing, to deny ourselves. Deny yourself and take up your cross daily and to follow Him. And I have one more example here today, and for time's sake, I did shorten the message a little bit here. We special day today, and for the baptism and breakfast this morning. It's amazing. We experienced a lot of different things today in a church service, in one service. But here on this line of the same line of talking about individuality, I want to read to you Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 24. And at first you may ask the question, what does this have to do? And I'll explain to you. Jesus said this, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." Now what am I saying here? Jesus is saying that before you can continue on and to serve Him and to walk rightly with Him, you have to reconcile with that brother, with that dispute, whatever it might be, with another person. Why am I saying that? Because if and we've all experienced this in our lives, individuality is what will keep you from doing that. I don't know how you would word it inside, but you're saying, not that person, no way, I am not going to reconcile that person. Something like that, right? That's individuality. And I know it's hard sometimes. And again, I'm not necessarily talking here about reconciling, but those kind of situations are very difficult sometimes because they seem so unrealistic. God is asking me, I have this thought, and I won't tell you in detail, but I remember this time that even Christians, I reconciled with a person, and I had Christians in the church telling me, like, basically, why did you, that person, like, after what he did, you're reconciling with him. But I want to tell you something, when you, and this is important about the whole message, when you do that, when you, that's what faith is. You step out in faith and do exactly what God is saying to do, even if it seems unrealistic, even if it seems like, man, not that person, whatever the case might be, your faith will grow by leaps and bounds. I guarantee you. Because you're following, remember how I mentioned, I said I'm going to mention to you periodically, I mentioned today about being in agreement with God. You know, today BJ and Marissa are in agreement with God to have their child baptized and in the family of God here. When you agree with God and agree with his word, he's going to step in. You read all through the New Testament. You read where the only time Jesus was truly moved when he healed somebody or did something miraculous was when they asked or did something through faith. Faith always moves God, always. That's what impresses God. And then you read in some short occasions where, well, it was when, matter of fact, it was when Jesus went to Nazareth, to his hometown, and they were like, you know, that's where Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except for his hometown. They shunned him away. And he said there, it said Jesus could not do many miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their lack of faith. So when you have faith and you're walking in obedience to God, so I hope I answered that question to the person that asked it to some degree. I mean, as I said, there's many different avenues. When we're talking about who our true self is, I wanted to just put that in perspective today from God's word. The true self is your personality. God is not asking you to deny that. That's the person he created. He's wanting us to deny that individuality, that part that hinders us from our true personality in Christ coming out. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word and for the message today, Lord, about our personality, that it is through you, Lord, that you created us. You made us uniquely different than everyone else. As your word says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Father, we believe that as believers, and we do live now by faith. Help us, Lord, where maybe that individuality is keeping us from something. It is keeping us from getting closer to you. We know, Lord, that you want us closer in union with you in all aspects of our lives. Help us to do that, Lord, and help us to encourage one another to do that. As your word says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, or one woman sharpens another woman. However the combination is, Lord, you have made us to be instruments of encouragement, to encourage one another, lift up one another, build up one another to walk rightly with you. I thank you, Lord, for this congregation of people here, the body of Christ, who's here for their serve you as they represent today. They represent families. Some family members I've never met, but I can say today, those who are here representing them, bless them and encourage them as well, Lord, as if they were here today. We want to see families growing and living and serving together. In unison, in the bonds of peace. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.